Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right, hey, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, we're going to pick up some things that we talked about last week. And I want to move forward a little bit. We've been talking about the core values. We've been speaking about the fact that as new creations, that really these core values are for every new creation that's breathing. Because the reality of it is, folks, let's just strip away all the religious mindsets. The reality of it is, if you're a human being on this planet, you were created to live at this level. And as long as I'm breathing, I will do what I can do to explain the reality of the gospel in those terms, because I think for so long we've become so segregated in our mindsets and the way we communicate things and then we talk to people that we've kind of made it an us versus you. And that's unfortunate because, like I've said before, John 3:16 wasn't just for Christians. God so loved the Christians that He gave His only begotten Son. That's not what it says. He says, God so loved the world. I wonder if people in the world and the people that you know, I wonder if they know that God sees them as a treasure. That they know, do they know that God sees them as a pearl of great price? Bought the whole field just because of them. And it's you know, they're not valuable until they give their life to the Lord and then they got to pony up and perform. It seems like that's kind of the way it is sometimes. We tell them they're valuable. It's like a sales pitch. But as soon as they sign, man, you're in. Okay, now you got to start. Now you got to pony up because look what Jesus did for you. You know, how many times you heard that kind of mess? Like we're gonna guilt him in or manipulate him into, you know, doing things. Jesus loves every human being that's breathing. Every human being that's breathing was created to function and live at a certain level. Because the makeup of a human being is you are a spirit. You have a soul, which is where your emotions and your will is. And we walk around, obviously, in this physical body. The biggest challenge that you'll have as a human being, even if you're a new creation, and I hope everybody in here is, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you've declared, yes, you died on the cross and you were raised from the dead for me, and I'm taking ownership of that because you made me righteous, and I thank you for raising me up to your throne and seating me in heavenly places with you, because I have a better vantage point from there. If you've, maybe not so many words, but if you've made and declared Jesus as Lord, just like Father declares Him as Lord, you still have the challenge of what's going on between your ears. And the unfortunate thing, it seems like so much of the time, is we become satisfied mentally assenting to things that we find in the Word. And we become satisfied with knowing doctrines. It's like we all have this collection. And we're looking for, you know, it's like Paul was talking to the Athenians in Greece, and he says, you know, you guys collect teachings. And so many times that's what happens. We, you know, as Christians, we're constantly looking for the next tape or the next DVD or the next teaching or the next something else you can add to your arsenal. And we forget that, you know, as great as those things are, there's actually a person behind those, and it's not the one that's teaching. There's the person of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus is actually, he does really exist. And way back before there was an earth, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had a game plan for human beings. And they created them to be of one mind and one spirit with them. They said, you know, we're going to make man in our image after our likeness. They're going to think like us and they're going to act like us. They're going to see things like us. And so human beings are created to live on that level. And I tell you, you know, I guarantee you most people that you know that are not new creations do not know that. They have the mindset that God thinks they're bad, that God has something against them, that God's calling them wicked sinners. The reality of it is, you know, Jesus took care of that issue. Now, if you want to be demon-possessed and you're bent that way and you just think, you know, you're just going to go to hell with your hair on fire, well then, you know, I'll get out of your way. Because if you're not going to take ownership of what Jesus did, the greatest thing that could ever have been done for a human being, then, you know, we got some issues. But John chapter 1 here says, in the beginning was the Word. This starts off exactly like Genesis chapter 1, but really, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, in Genesis, it really says, in eternity past. In eternity past. Everybody say, in eternity past. See, it's easy for us as human beings because really, time started when you were born, as far as you were concerned. But how many know, if you weren't born in the 50s, you were born in the 60s, how many of the 50s still happen? Right? And if you were born in the 50s and not in the 40s, well, the 40s still happen. So, you take the first man, Genesis 1 records that after the fall they were named Adam and Eve. Well, before them, there was still something, right? I said, right? And so we need to understand, folks, you got to have a bigger reality than just a certain time on the chronology timeline. And John here says, in the beginning was the Word. Before there was anything else, there was the Word. Or in eternity past was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He, now we know he's talking about a person, was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now get this, verse 4. In Him was life. In Him was life, and that life was the light. Everybody say light.
Light.
Of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the NASB says the darkness did not comprehend it. Really, in the Greek New Testament, it really says the light could not seize it to pull it down. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And I love this. In verse 9, it says, there was the true light, which was coming into the world, that enlightened some men. Is that what it says? That enlightens the Christians. No, it enlightens every man. That means the worst of the worst, they can still be enlightened by the life of God. Because man was created to have that life in the first place. Man was created to live in that life in the first place. He was created to experience that life in the first place. And part of that life, one part of the benefit of that life, is it gives you an insight into things beyond what you're touching with your hands. What you're seeing with your eyes. It gives you insight beyond what you hear with your ears, physical ears. Because man was created to live there. That's where we were created to live. You were never created to live as a two-part being. in your own mind, in your own emotions, reacting to what your ears hear, what your eyes see. We were created to live plugged in a little farther down than that. He says, so in him was the life, and that life was the light that enlightens every man coming into the world. Now, our core value that talks about we're giving the Word of God final authority. And as I think the updated version of that says, we put the accuracy of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth before personal opinion. How many know that, you know, the habit of man is this? If your life experience is A, but you read B in the Word, you tweak it so that it matches A. Because the issue in this situation, it can't be me. So it has to be that that isn't really what it says, and I think what he really meant to say was, because I'm experiencing A. The challenge with that is you're making, you're drawing conclusions based on revelation of this book based on what your physical feelings are telling you. And your physical feelings aren't anchored in anything except what your five physical senses can hook into. The biggest challenge that we have as believers is we have to train ourselves. He talks about it, the writer of Hebrews talks about having your senses trained to discern good and evil. You know what the biggest problem, the biggest challenge with us as new creations is? The biggest challenge is we give every circumstance in the book final authority, and then we exhaust ourselves trying to overthrow that authority. Did you hear what I just said? We give every circumstance in our life, we give that final authority, and then we spend our time and our effort and our emotions and our energy trying to overthrow the magnitude of that authority. Which should tell you if that's the situation, then you're just living in the natural. You know, we are masters as church people. We're masters at saying the right thing at the right time. Right? We can quote that verse. We can even tell somebody else. But yet the reality is we haven't even mastered implementing those truths in our own life. We just like to tell everybody else, this is what the Word says and the Bible says, and you know, you can do this. And I know, you know, a lot of, let's be honest, a lot of it is encouraging, we understand that. But you know, let's get out of being satisfied and just knowing how to say the right thing at the right time. Let's take what we get from the Word of God, and as this says, you know, we put the Word of God, the accuracy of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth before our own opinions. We receive our identity, our purpose, and our perspectives from that. When we interact personally with other people, we demonstrate our high esteem for its priority because we make adjustments in our behavior, in the way we act, the way we think, the way we respond, the way we see things. We make those adjustments easily. If we get in situations, folks, and we find that I just want to camp. And I'll be honest with you, I've had situations like this. I don't want to talk to nobody. Don't come to my door. I don't want to say hi to you at the grocery store. This isn't recently, okay, I'll just tell you. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to be alone because I just want to stew. How many of y'all had days like that? I'll tell the truth. I've had days like that, yeah. You know, When my wife first met me, she said, I don't want to marry that guy. He doesn't even talk to nobody. And so I've come a long way. But, you know, it's easy for me. If I want to just be an introvert, I could do that. Because I've visited that world before. But Peter made the statement one time. He says, you need to gird up the loins of your mind. And what is he just saying? Well, if it was Dave talking, he'd probably say, you need to lasso those emotions and get them in check. Because they're running all over the place. And understand when that's happening, we all like to be spiritual, but the reality is you're still focusing on the natural, and this is where you're anchored. You're anchored in the natural. You're not anchored any deeper than that. But before the natural, there was eternity past. And that's where man was created to be anchored. You know, in Hebrews, go over to Hebrews. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews made this mention about Jesus and what he did. See if I can find it. He said, we have a greater hope. Jesus went into the Holy of Holies, so to speak, and then the dude just tore down the veil. Aren't you glad we don't have to go through somebody else to relate to Father? That Father says, man, Jesus said, you can go to, he's my Father and your Father. But what Jesus did, because of what Jesus did when he's raised from the dead, the word says we have a greater hope that's the anchor of our soul. He's the anchor of our soul. And so what you find with the way Jesus communicated these truths is he was trying to communicate to human beings that there's a little more to life than what you're seeing. And I love this, the way, you know, he tells the story of the sower and the seed. And it's pretty telling because everybody lives in one of these places. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And look at verse 3, it says, listen to this. Jesus said, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, now what he's sowing, he said he's sowing seeds in this parable, but he goes on to tell you that the seeds are actually words. And so, words are going out. And he says, some of the seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up, and other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. Immediately it sprang up because it didn't have any depth of soil. Everybody say depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, everybody say root, it withered. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it and yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up, and they increased, and they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And then he goes on to explain this parable. Look at verse 13. He said to his disciples, he says, do you not understand this parable? He says, how will you understand all the parables? He says, verse 14, the sower is sowing the word. Now, you might as well say this, because if you go back and read the other gospels, you might as well say this. It's not just the word. It's the word of the kingdom. You say, why does that matter? It matters a big deal. It matters a lot. Because I promise you, you can go and talk to any new creation that's out there. And if they don't understand, we're not talking about the kingdom as in when you die, you go to heaven. We're talking about the kingdom that's in place right now. It's been in place since eternity past. It's coexists with what you're living in right now. Do you understand that? Do we understand, are we all on the same page, that behind what's seen is something that's unseen? Imagine what, if people could come back after being dead. Some have. Do they speak of something else existing? Yeah. So, Jesus is saying, the sower goes and sows the word, and it's the word of the kingdom. You can write this verse down, Matthew 13, I think, I believe it's verse 18. That's what Jesus preached. He was preaching the word of the kingdom. People were getting healed, set free, delivered, made whole, limbs growing out, eyes being restored to sight, ears being healed. Because in the kingdom realm, they're not deaf. They're not blind. They're not physically impaired. So he began to preach and declare that the kingdom of God is here. Turn around, have a change of perspective. The kingdom of God is here. And so he's saying, he likens that to a sower sowing word. So he's sowing words in verse 15. These are the ones that are beside the road. Where the words are being sown, they hear, and immediately Satan comes to take away the word. Why? Well, about the only thing that I've seen that will grow in stone hard ground is a stupid weed. Why is the ground hard? Because everybody walks there. So what is he saying here? He's saying, well, the first level of people's existence is they're going to walk where everybody else is walking. They're going to think the same thing everybody else thinks. They're going to see the same thing everybody else sees. They're going to function exactly the same way everybody else functions. So when something from the unseen realm comes, when I'm speaking words from eternity past, if I'm speaking the words, and how many know Jesus was? He says they're the ones that are like seeds that fall on hard ground. Well, that seed doesn't even go in. One of the writers says, you know, he gets trampled. Why? Because nobody pays attention, because it doesn't gel with what they think. And even new creation human beings, they function this way too. They'll pick a church based on whether the pastor thinks like them. That, you know, I don't mean this bad, and nobody in this room is this way, okay? So I'm not talking to anybody in this room, so don't go out to lunch and say, what are you talking about? Nobody. Nobody in here. But isn't it kind of foolish for a person to judge what church they're going to choose based on whether the pastor agrees with them when they don't even study the word he does? And he's probably in it three times more than they are, because he probably pastors that church as his sole occupation. Unless there's a board members, you know, a bunch of board members, and they got those yahoos got the pastor running around doing visitation all day. That's another issue. But, you know, it's really kind of foolish for any individual to think, I got the corner market on revelation of the scripture, and so I'm going to pick a church based on whether the guy agrees with me or not. It may be possible, just possible, maybe, that somebody's seen something that you haven't seen yet. Maybe. So for us to allow ourselves to get into this mindset, really, of just adopting mindsets that everybody else has, I don't care if they're new creations, just natural men. I mean, obviously it's a no-brainer for a natural man. You can look at the society and everybody's thinking the same way. You know, it's the old proverbial Pied Piper with all the rats following him. The God of this world has got everybody thinking the same way. They have the same perspectives, And they feel good when they have these perspectives, because their emotions tell them this is the right way to think. The problem with that is it's still only grounded in the natural arena. It has absolutely zero insight into or from the one that was here from eternity past. So, you know, the word says, let every man be, you know, let God be true, let every man be a liar. Because I don't care how smart it sounds or how intellectually accurate it sounds or how compassionate it sounds or how whatever it sounds, if it originated from the natural arena out of a mind of a man, he didn't go far enough back. Because Father and Jesus, called the Word in John, was here from eternity past, and they have a way of thinking and perspectives that a natural man, or even a new creation man who's chosen to live out of his emotions, in his feelings, and what his eyes see and what his ears hear, because all those things do, the five physical senses, they just tell the emotions how to feel. So if we haven't trained our spiritual senses to discern what's evil and what's not evil, what's good, what's accurate, what's not accurate, then we're going to be living in the same place that a natural guy would be living, because we're running through life being controlled by the same mechanism. So Jesus says, you know, the sower's sowing the words, and the ones that where the seed falls on the hard ground is because popular opinion, everybody's traveling there, so the dirt's so hard that the seed doesn't even go. The birds just come down, take it, and say, see you later, thanks for feeding me. But then the next stage, he says, you know, in a similar way, there are those that sown on rocky places, you know, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they don't have any root in themselves. What is that saying? You know, I read this verse for a year. I never really understood what it's saying. But they receive the word with joy. They're living here. Whew. But as soon as circumstances kick up the dust, he says they don't have any firm root in themselves. Who is the themselves? The themselves is the one that is anchored in eternity past. As a new creation, the real you is not your flesh. It's not what you see in the mirror. Some of us say, amen, thank you, Jesus. But the real you is you're a spirit. Your spirit has an identity. Your spirit has resources. Your spirit lives and moves and has its being in Jesus, because as a new creation, He's the prototype, and now your life is hidden in Him. And so the reality for you is not the physical you. You need to be rooted in yourself, the one that is in the family. Right? Is it any wonder that most mindsets of most believers is, I'm just a sinner? You're not a sinner, but you need to understand all of this lingo and all this verbiage that's coming out of most folks. It's there because they're telling you, I'm only anchored in my natural man. That's who I am. And the reality is, I mean, Jesus talked about it. He says, the man who builds his house on the rock. What's the rock? Don't say Jesus. Jeez. I mean, guys, look. I understand, you know, for little kids, we've got to teach them something they can grab a hold of. Right? But while we're teaching them something they can grab a hold of, we're supposed to be training them how to live out of their spirit. You know, make Jesus your Lord, and then, you know, my gosh, if Samuel can learn how to hear the words of God, why can't any 5-year-old that's walking? A lot of them probably do. It takes religion to screw them up and tell them to live out of their minds. But Jesus said, if you build your house on the rock is what? Eternity past. And what's revealed from Father. Because remember, he told Peter, when Peter said, hey, who do men say that I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, you're empowered to prosper because natural men didn't tell that to you. That came from my Father who's in eternity past. Upon that rock of that which is revealed from eternity past from my Father, I'm going to build my church, and no power of darkness will ever be able to stand against it. So basically, what is he saying? He's saying that anything that's in this natural arena that we're living in with our physical body, our emotions, our mind, our will, you know, anything that comes up in this arena has to bow its knee to anything that's revealed from the unseen arena, from Daddy, from the Spirit of God. He says that these folks, you know, the word stone in rocky places, they're the ones that receive the word. They receive it with joy. But they don't have any firm root in themselves. One writer said they lack moisture. If you know anything about plants, and I don't claim that I know a lot about plants, but I do know this, that roots go down where they can find water. Right? And the deeper down the roots, and there's a reason why, if you look at all these fruit trees around here, why they're not roasted. Because they're all like 30 years old. And the root systems go way down. So that when heat comes, you know, leaves might curl up a little bit, but they're not just going to fall over and burn up. So, what is he saying? He's saying you got to live someplace else besides your mind. If you live in your mind, then you're basically living where everybody else tramples. That ground is stinking hard. We didn't say that. But, you know, it's hard. That's a Dan version, sorry. It's a good thing that's not a bad word, because you have to edit that out of the recording. But it's hard because why? Because, you look, when you're living in the natural arena, stuff is hitting your mind all the time. What happens when you have a certain place on your body and it keeps getting hurt, keeps getting hurt, keeps getting hurt? You get calloused. You develop calloused. I remember when I first started playing the guitar, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? My fingers hurt so bad. Because I wasn't used to using them on the strings, and after a while, the tips of my fingers became real, real calloused. Because I got tired of being damaged. Well, it's the same way with the world, a natural human being, or even if you're a new creation, if you're going to make a choice and you're going to live in the place of your own mind, your own emotions, then the world system is designed this way. It's designed to buffet you and hammer you until it creates a callousness in the way you see things. Jesus called that a blind heart. A blind heart is one who only lives from the level of your mind and emotions up. A seeing heart is one that lives out of their spirit. Because understand this, the Bible talks about your heart, but the heart is actually two things. It's your spirit, because you are a spirit, and it's your mind working together. The inward man or the heart is your spirit and your soul working together. Your spirit is you. Your soul is the connection between your inward man and your outward man. And they're designed to work together, but they have to think the same way. If your spirit is seeing things a certain way, but your emotions and your mind and your will are not submitting to that, and they want to go off with their own reality, guess what's going to win? Your mind and your emotions. Because your mind and your emotions will just harness your body, and then all of a sudden now it's two against one. So he's saying the challenge with human beings is, you know, you got some that they walk where everybody else walks, they think where everybody else thinks, and so when they hear something that comes from the unseen around, when they hear something that comes from daddy, they just pretty much reject it, ignore it, because it doesn't make any sense, can't compute, it doesn't make any sense, and they just ignore it and walk away, and so they just keep living where they're familiar. The second guy lives in rocky ground, well, he hears something, and he says, ooh, that's good, and he says, ooh, I like that, and he gets all emotional about it, ooh. But then circumstances beat the tar out of him and he throws it to the ground. Forget it, this doesn't work. God, I thought you loved me. And then there's the other one. He said, you know, they don't have any firm root in themselves. In other words, they're living in their mind and their emotions up. They're not rooted in their own spirit. They're not rooted in the revelation of what the Word of God is trying to show them, teach them, what the Spirit of God from the mind of Father is trying to show them and teach them who they are, and what they have. They're not implementing that. See, this is the challenge that we have. If we're just going to take what we have in this book called the Bible as theological teachings, and we're just going to collect them, then they never become part of who we are. They just become a part of what we believe. But our beliefs never change our actions. They never change how we see things. They never change how we respond to things. They never change anything else. They're just something that we believe. Because in our mind, well, I'm supposed to believe this way, and I would be a bad child if I didn't. So I believe. That's not good enough, guys. We're not living, we're not theological beings. We're spiritual beings that are connected. We're one spirit with Him. We have the mind of Christ for the reason of He wants us to know this is the real you, and in my family, this is how we are, and this is who we are, and this is what belongs to you. So anything else that comes down the pipe that's only from the level of the natural arena, if we've trained ourselves to live from what we're seeing out of the mind of Daddy, from the eternal arena, then we just keep our head down and keep on trucking. You don't even give darkness the satisfaction of acknowledging that you get ruffled. Because we're not going to live from this natural level of life. We're going to live a little farther down. A little deeper down, put the roots a little farther. Be rooted in yourself, the real you, as a new creation. Does that mean that things don't get tight, that the pressure doesn't get hot? That is not at all what it means. Does the pressure get hot? Yeah. You think the natural system's just going to stop? The whole key is, how do you respond to this? Because if we're going to be people that we put the accuracy of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth before our own personal opinions, that means you better not latch onto anything in the natural arena level of thinking and make that be your opinion and make it supersede anything that this Word says, that the Spirit of God says. Don't go changing this so that it matches what you're experiencing. I've seen people get mad because you told them God wants you to be healed. Think about it. That isn't even how a natural man would think. That's a guy that got screwed up on religion. A natural guy would grab onto that and say, yeah, I want that, okay. It takes a religious guy who got screwed up by a religious thought process to get mad when you start talking about how God wants to be good to you and make you whole. So let's be people that, you know, we want to be like this next one. He says, you got the guy that's, you know, the worries of the world, and it's the same, basically the same as the guy on the rocks. The deceitfulness of riches, he's always trying to get something because he's coming from a place of lack. And the desires of things enters in and it chokes out the Word, or what he sees in the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. But we want to be the guy that, the one who sown on good soil, they hear the word of the kingdom, they accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. 30, 60, and 100 fold. They bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. If you notice, that kind of correlates with Romans chapter 12. Go over there. Jeez. Romans 12. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you'll prove what the will of God is, the good, acceptable, and perfect. How many know the perfect is 100-fold? So how do you get to that place? Well, one last verse and we're done. Go to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs, and I'll pick up here next week. Why do we want to live not just with a casual acquaintance of this book and the revelation the Spirit of God gives us from this book? Because Proverbs 1:23 says this, I'm not going there, but it says this, behold, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and I'll make my words known to you. He gave you His Spirit. He gave you a new Spirit. As a new creation, you're a new Spirit. You're a new creation. And He did that for you because He wants you to understand everything that is coming down the pipe. But here's something I thought was interesting. Proverbs chapter 1. And if you look at that parable of the sower, he says, whatever measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you. Whatever effort you put into getting understanding and revelation from the Spirit of God on the words of this book, and it will never contradict itself. So if something doesn't fit, then put it on the back shelf until you learn some more, or maybe it just doesn't fit. But notice what he says here. The proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Psalms 119 says, the entrance of your word causes light. It's literally what it says in the Hebrew. The entrance of your word causes light. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Here's what the Spirit of God said to me about that verse. He said, did you notice that verse says that I give you my word, and if you let me teach you my word, then I'll put you in a place when you'll discern. Now listen to this. You'll discern when somebody is speaking from a place of understanding. He says the challenge is most folks, the biggest person that understands in their opinion is them. But I gave you my word, so if you stay there, I'll teach you to discern words that are coming from somebody who understands. Why? So that you can latch onto it. Because when we don't live in the Word, what happens is we become our best opinion. And so we're not teachable, and so, you know, there's some movie you've seen or something, but some guy's saying something, he's speaking everything that's accurate. He's trying to diagnose the situation, and he's completely accurate in his assessment, and the guy says, no, that's not it. And he comes off some completely unrelated, ridiculous opinion about what really the situation is. And so, why do we want to grab onto the Word and be people that love the Word? But we love the Word, not our opinion of the Word, not a teacher's version of the Word, but we love the Word because it's of what's revealed by the Spirit of Truth. And we're not afraid to change and tweak our perspectives when we learn things new, and we don't camp on our opinions as if they're the last word. Why? Because it keeps you in a place of always discerning what's light. The entrance of my word creates light. Otherwise, if we just have a casual acquaintance with this on Sundays or, you know, once a week or whatever, then what happens is the system in the world is speaking to you all the time, and constantly it's creating thought processes and perspectives, and it's trying to get you to adopt ways of thinking and perspectives. And the more you camp there, and the more you let that all that trash get deposited in your yard, then you really can't really, you lose your ability. The writer of Hebrews says you become dull. You lose your ability to discern or to see the light. So that's why we're a people that we want to put the authority of the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of truth ahead of our opinions. And we're just going to be people that, hey, you know what? If he teaches me something, I'm just going to change. I'm going to go with him. You realize if the body of Christ would do this, we wouldn't have these pockets that would just treat women like crap. We wouldn't have these mindsets that would just say, well, if you're a female, you can't ever teach me. You just stood up in front of everybody and said, I'm the stupidest man alive. We wouldn't have all these mindsets that are, you know, all it does is create division, oppression, and just junk and garbage in the body of Christ. We wouldn't have that because no one would camp out in a certain opinion. We would have kept flowing and kept going with the Spirit of God, and we would all be growing up into the head. Right? How many want to grow up into the head? How many don't want to grow to your seat? How many want to stand up? I had no idea what time it was. So, you know, we're just looking at things, guys. I mean, I believe the Spirit of God wants us to have His opinions and His perspectives on things. And, you know, there are reasons why we have a book with print in it. But even more importantly, there's a reason why we have the Spirit of God in us. Because even the writer of Psalms 119, he was speaking more about the person and the revealer than he was print that he had. So let's enjoy the Word, but let's enjoy the person of the Spirit of God. And let's just be quick to make adjustments as we go. And we'll be a people that live in the fruit of His family. Amen. Father, I just give You praise and I give You glory and I thank You for Your Word. Thank You for giving us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge that You have. And we take this perspective, Lord, that we are going to be a people. We just love You. We love hanging out with You. We love worshiping You. We love everything that's You. Jesus, You're the coolest dude there is. And we just thank You for it. Father, I lift everybody in this room and I just thank You that You open the eyes of their understanding and You give them a spirit of wisdom and understanding or revelation as You call it in the New Testament. That they begin to show them things in the Word that they've never seen before that magnify the greatness of You, that magnify Your character. And so when circumstances try to rear their head and say things are a certain way and You're going down this time. I know things in the past have been good, but not this time. We can just say, you know what, you're so foolish. My Bible says my Father never leaves me or never, ever, ever forsakes me. And the plans that He has for me are good plans. And they're to give me an expected end. So I'm going to anchor my hope in the unseen. Because really, the unseen is more real. And it's changing this. So don't even speak to me from this place because I don't live here. Father, I thank You for that. Thank You for transforming our thinking and our minds and our expectation. Every need in this house today, I tell you, in the name of Jesus, I call you filled. Angels, I thank you. You minister to the needs of these heirs of salvation. And thank you that you bring the jobs, you bring whatever it is, you bring the finances, you bring the wholeness in the physical body, you bring whatever it is, whatever is part of the master good plan of Daddy, those things, you bring those things rushing towards these people. Because we're a family and we have a certain, we live life at a certain level because that's the way our Daddy designed it. And everybody agree with that first said. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.